Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Another great song choice by Valero on this Throwback Thursday. Just can't get enough.
Oh, wasn't this like on some gum commercial or something?
I don't know.
When I'm with you, baby.
I think it's Depeche Mode, right?
Depeche Mode, yeah.
Yeah,
from a commercial?
It's a commercial with this beat.
5 o'clock hour on Hockman & Crowder, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. It's the Funky Buddha Happy Hour. We're live at Dave & Buster's in the Oakwood Plaza in Hollywood. One more hour of me and Crowder, and then our draft coverage from here at Dave & Buster's will begin again at 8 p.m. tonight. Now, the draft coverage on the radio station begins right at 6 p.m., and we've got people situated at Hard Rock Stadium, and we've got people situated at the Dolphins facility in Davie, and then at 8 o'clock, right back here at Dave & Buster's in Hollywood, Alex Dono and Rashad Butler will take you through the draft, along with our team coverage from Davie and Hard Rock Stadium. But we certainly want you to join us here at Dave & Buster's in the Oakwood Plaza in Hollywood. It's between Sterling and Sheridan. Couple things I want to get to before we continue on with these fantastic stories that we have heard all week, and the texts that appreciate the coverage that we've done. It reminds me that there are people that appreciate a little bit of effort and some good radio as well. Somebody texts in, these stories are what the NFL draft is really about. Not the 20 or so guys we see all over TV that get to attend the draft. I've loved every story this week. I sure hope you do these types of stories again next year before the draft. Yeah, and in fact, I've enjoyed this so much, we're going to do this 52 weeks a year.
Bro.
The entire show is now called Draft Stories with Hockman and Crowder, and all we'll do is talk draft stories.
Oh, you BSing, though. If we get a guy on in the middle of June that got drafted and we're talking about football, I'm going to ask him about his draft story.
I've been more fascinated by these stories than anything I think we've done on the radio, period. Except one thing today fascinated me a little bit more than the draft stories. And it's a text that I got from our boss, our program director, Len, who said that he asked Valero to get him a salad from the food truck that came to the radio station today.
Food truck salad?
Yeah, already a bad choice. Man. But Len likes to watch what he eats.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Valero gets him the salad and brings him in his office to eat it, the salad and a spoon.
What was that?
So I'm looking at the peanut gallery. I just want to make sure I have this straight, Valero. You brought Len a salad. Very nice of you to go down to the food truck and get it for him. But of all the utensils you could have gotten, which really there's only one option.
That's it.
A fork. Why would you bring him a salad with a spoon?
Well, I had to get lunch for myself, so I had my hands were filled, so I forgot the fork down by the road coach because he has forks with him. So I came upstairs, and I know we have like a little cabinet of utensils, but there was no fork in them, so it was a spoon and a knife. So I'm like, he can eat it with a spoon. So I tried to explain it to him, and he's like, a spoon? A spoon? I can't eat this with a spoon. So I had to go back downstairs to the road coach to get him a fork.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're going to bring someone a salad, like if you agree to that part, and that part's very nice on you, like if you agree, though, to go get the salad, you've got to bring the proper utensil. How could you eat lettuce with a spoon?
I mean, you just use your hand a little bit. You have the spoon and you put it on, like you put the lettuce onto the spoon with your hand and you eat it.
Eat the salad with your hands?
Come on, man.
With your hands?
Yeah, we're humans. They used to eat with their hands back in the day.
Eat the salad with your hands?
It's not my fault he wants to put a half a cup of ranch in
it. Is there dressing on the salad?
Yeah, he put ranches.
And are you talking about caveman time?
Caveman time, yeah.
That's what you want to reference?
A spoon.
I don't see the big deal. I don't see the big deal. Just get the spoon,
with your
maybe
hand.
Get a knife, and you eat it. Come on.
A weird thing to bring someone. Like, you do a nice thing, but then all of a sudden you go, here's a spoon.
I mean,
that's
it seems
those
like
dumb mistake.
It seems like a first world problem that we can just get over it, you know?
No, that's not a first world problem. There's forks, there's spoons, there's knives. They've got them all over the world. You know, all over the world. The only possible option other than a fork would be chopsticks.
What about
a spork? It's the only thing beyond the fork that you could have brought up.
What about a spork?
Nah, it's still mostly spoon.
Yeah,
I'm not a
pinches.
Spork fan. That's a spoon.
Spork is mostly spoon. That's it's an unfinished spoon.
A serrated spoon.
Yeah.
Who needs that?
Yeah. I don't even know why they have sporks anymore.
For dummies like Falero.
They had it in my school when I grew up. Like it was all over schools.
And we know what kind of school you went to.
And we know what bus you rode to get there.
Yeah, I got it.
I am staring here. Our friends at Sinbad Sports, they've brought some prizes to raffle off tonight. One of them is an autographed Channing Crowder picture. I'm looking at it. What does it say? Go Fins.
Well,
all
that was when
jacked
I was
up, wearing number 52.
That was the prime. Look at that gut.
Look at you, man.
Look at my big neck and flat little gut. Man, those are the good old days.
What happened, man?
You shut up.
This becomes an angry, like, Sanford and Son. You shut up.
Just a simple question.
I'm going to have to hit you.
Yeah, you are really getting lippy, man.
It
I don't know what is going on with you, Falero.
I mean, who would want his card, though?
Lippy.
He had one interception.
No, I know what happened. You don't run your house. Your wife runs your entire life, and now you want to come to work and get some power back.
Right,
don't
so get
power
get
with
little,
us.
A little mouthy here.
You told me to be like that because that was going to happen.
No, but yeah, you got to get in a sunken place, but you have to establish your sunken place. You don't know how you're going
to
get divorced.
You see, you always add more elements.
It's
to
not
going to
work.
I
your
don't
marriage,
get it.
Your marriage isn't going to work. I'm
anyway,
sorry to tell you.
If you come out to Dave and Buster's tonight, I'll give you a while they last. We've got a power card, so if you bring your kids, give them a power card so they can go play some games in the Midway. And there's going to be great food and drink as there always is here at Dave and Buster's. I saw our promotions team is all set up in the lobby at Dave and Buster's, so you can. Register to win some prizes, which will be given away. We've got Hurricanes football tickets to give away, and we've got these memorabilia items from Sinbad Sports, and it's going to be a ton of fun. So if you're thinking still, you know, draft is what? A little less than 3 hours away. If you're thinking still about where you want to go watch Dave and Buster's in the Oakwood Plaza in Hollywood, it's going to be a lot of fun tonight, and we are expecting a good crowd, but there is so much seating and so many giant screens, you will have no problem watching the draft. And the great part is, I was having a conversation with someone during the commercial break, I really think there's the chance that we're going to be surprised tonight. I really think that there's some drama that might unfold because there's so many things up in the air.
And anyway, trading up, trading down, taking a QB, not taking a QB, I think the Dolphins are going to have – they're going to be players today. It's not going to just be – I don't believe we're just going to get to 13 and take a guy. I think the Dolphins are going to be players.
I think they're probably in conversations now and have been in conversations all day and probably all week, and I think that there's a lot of dominoes that could fall. Again, we don't know if Arizona is really going to take Kyler Murray with the number one pick. We assume San Francisco, Bosa, right?
Yeah,
that seems like that would happen. But then a bunch of stuff is up in the air, really starting with Oakland, who – has kind of intimated that they're going to surprise the world, which I don't know what that means, but it could very well happen.
But Oakland, they need defensive guys. After getting rid of Khalil Mack, they were the worst pass-rushing team in the NFL last year. So they need a Quentin Williams. They need a Joey Bosa. But are they set on Derek Carr or not? Because I've heard reports on both sides where they don't like Derek or they do like Derek. But if they're at number four and Kyler slips, could they jump one or two slots to get Kyler? Is Dwayne Haskins there? The Raiders are going to be a big piece of this. But I believe the Dolphins aren't sitting still. I think Chris Greer, the first year that he's named GM, this is his draft.
Chance to make a mark.
Let's do something. Let him put his mark on the GM job.
So this week we've been, you know, patting ourselves on the back for the shows that we've done, but I really am proud of them. But we've had draft day stories. From Gino Toretta, Josh Booty, Randy McMichael, O.J. McDuffie, Ronnie Brown, Aronde Gadsden, Twan Russell, Crowder himself. But the the player I think that has the most history when it comes to heart-wrenching draft stories. Is heart-wrenching the right word? I mean, we can hear from him.
If for me, it was watching him.
Brady Quinn. Brady Quinn, you know, coming out of Notre Dame, and he's a star, and there's talk that he might go number one overall.
Yeah.
And he keeps falling and falling and falling. Then the Dolphins don't take him. You're certain the Dolphins are going to take him. That was the turn your thumbs this direction year.
I'm this way. We've drafted the whole Ted Ginn family.
We love Cam Cameron.
I can't stand Cam Cameron.
So we're going to get a draft day story to put the cherry on the sundae, if you will, because I believe the one that is most fascinating is Brady Quinn, who did end up going in the first round.
So second.
You can't. Can you ever be angry if you get drafted in the first round of the NFL draft?
Yes. When you lost $10 million going from 1 to 22nd?
But you still are making millions as a number one draft pick.
I don't know if everybody did it, but I was counting pennies.
Right.
I was saying 20th picks, $8 million, 19th picks, $8.2. Like, I knew the distance between money between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 picks. I'm sure the other guys did that. All you have to do before the draft is to worry about where you get drafted. I went in the third round. Zach Thomas texted me earlier. Twan got on me a second. They're like, bro, we went in the fifth round. Quit complaining about the third. But if you think you're going in the third's a letdown. If you think you're going top five, 22 is a letdown. Yes, it's a letdown.
Okay, let's find out from him. Brady Quinn is going to tell us his draft story next. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. How did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head?
Nickelback can only mean one thing.
Brady Quinn.
Brady Quinn. Inexplicably. So we're live at Dave and Buster's. People are already coming out. They're already sitting down getting ready to watch the draft tonight, which is coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. We want you to join us. Watch it with us here. Dave and Buster's, the Oakwood Plaza in Hollywood, just east of 95 between Sterling and Sheridan. Going to be a lot of fun. We have had a fascinating week of guests telling us their draft stories.
Yeah.
Crowder's draft story is fascinating because he was told he was going in the first round. Mel Kiper told him absolutely no later than 20 to Green Bay. And then Bill Belichick told you, we're going to take you at 32, but there's no chance.
You won't be available.
And then
Crowder
didn't go till the third round, and he had already taken out $1 million credit line. The draft day turned out to be an awful memory for Crowder, which I think is silly because it's the culmination of your dreams, but regardless, you think of it as a bad day.
I shake this whole week. I just sit and shake. It ruined my life.
Then we had Gino Toretta on. He was the Heisman Trophy winner. He went in the seventh round. And I said to him, he's been a friend of mine for a long time, and I said, you kind of knew you were going to go late in the draft. He's like, no, I didn't. I was the freaking Heisman Trophy winner.
Exactly.
He was angry to this day, right?
Yes, he was.
And then Josh Booty was on with us, and he went in the sixth round. And he's like, yeah, I was pissed. I didn't belong going in the sixth round. And then we had, who else? Twan Russell today. He went – Twan Russell's story was fascinating. He got called by Detroit saying, we're taking you. It was in the third round. It was the 130th pick. And then they took Matt Russell. They called the wrong Russell.
Russell.
They had no intention of taking Twan Russell. They were intending on taking Matt Russell. They called the wrong Russell in their phone book. He didn't go till the fifth round. Randy McMichael told us this week he was going first or second round. He didn't go till the fourth round. He had to go to sleep that night and was miserable.
And his whole family was fighting, eating chitlins and drinking champagne that was supposed to be celebratory champagne but became morning champagne.
Became an angry evening at the Randy McMichael household. And then Ronnie Brown yesterday, he went number two overall. He had a great time.
I hate it.
O.J. McDuffie went 25 or 26, and he was thrilled.
He knew exactly what was going on.
So on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now is Brady Quinn. Now, many people are familiar with Brady's draft night story. Star stud quarterback out of Notre Dame. There's talk he might go number one overall. And then he gets selected. It was the 22nd pick by the Browns. And it was this arduous four-hour or so wait for Brady Quinn, which played out on television. But here's the thing, Brady. you went in the first round of the NFL draft. So is your draft night memory good or bad?
Yeah, I think when I look back on it, I don't remember it as being bad because I kind of went in with no expectations. And a lot of that had to do with, you know, much like a lot of other people, maybe even, you know, Channing feels this way, they were told a bunch of stuff and you don't know what to believe. You know, I flew out to Oakland for a visit, and at the time, Lane Kiffin was the head coach. And, you know, it was basically me and Jamarcus Russell were the two quarterbacks as slated as who they were looking at, and then there was Calvin Johnson and Adrian Peterson. And so when I go out there for the visit, I knew Lane Kiffin from playing against him at USC, and we sat down, we started watching some of my film, started watching some of their film, talking through some stuff, and he kind of stopped the tape and looked at me and said, hey, I really like you. I respect you from all the times playing against you. I wish we had the chance to take you. He said, but our owner is going to go another direction. And I just kind of said, okay. And he looked at me and goes, want to keep watching films, hang out for a little bit? I said, yeah, sure. So basically, I just spent the rest of the day hanging out around the Raiders organization, met Al Davis. He asked me which color of silver I liked for their uniforms. That was the extent of the visit.
This is
and,
surreal.
I left there knowing that I wasn't going to be drafted number one overall. The night before, Phil Savage had told my agent that if both Joe Thomas and I were there at number three, that they weren't going to select me. And he told me, he said, I had never had a general manager tell me what their draft strategy is the night before the draft. He goes, so I don't know if this is him being honest or some elaborate smokescreen that he thinks I'm going to make public or leak out there for the masses. But sure enough, they didn't take me. They ended up taking Joe Thomas, so he was being truthful. And, you know, the Dolphins, they had sent Charlie Weiss a care package the night before with a note that said something along the lines of, we know you haven't been a big fan before, considering his ties back in New England, but we hope you will be after tomorrow. And obviously when the Dolphins passed on me at number nine, I was a bit surprised. I hadn't met with any teams outside of the top 10. And so I didn't know what was going to happen. But obviously having the team that you rooted for your entire life, trade up to get you at number 22 was obviously a dream come true.
And the Jamarcus Russell thing, Brady, is interesting to me because some people, and in my mind, I have him as number one biggest draft bust in NFL history. For you to be competing with that guy, like, did you know you were better than him when, like you just said, where Oakland flat out told you we're going a different direction, did you know they were going with Jamarcus? And in the back of your mind, did you say, I'm better than Jamarcus Russell?
Of course. You know, of course you feel that way. I mean, look, I trained with loosely, I should say trained. I trained. Jamarcus was out in Arizona at the time. He wasn't working out, though.
he's just hanging.
It was, and so this goes back to really the bowl game. You know, up we played them in the Sugar Bowl that year. And, you know, at that time, you know, we were preparing for them. And I remember watching film of their defense and you know, saying to myself, okay, they've got a couple first-round picks on the defensive front. They got a safety who's a bona fide first-round pick and another cornerback, too. We've got a work cut out for us. You know, we're not necessarily built to be able to go up against that sort of talent. And so we had our hands full. I think it was like 21-14 a half, and then we didn't score a point in the second half, and they just ran away with it. And Jamarcus really made a case for being number one in that game. He just threw bomb after bomb, you know, over top of our defense to Dwayne Bowe and the likes. And came over some big plays. So then he started to build momentum. Well, when we went out to train at Arizona together, I was kind of curious. I'm like, all right, good. I want this guy to be training out here. I want to kick his ass every day when we're out there training and throwing and so forth. Well, he never really showed up. His biggest knock was how big he was, and he never really lost weight. So, you know, I would hang around pretty much there all day. I'd work out, I'd throw, I'd watch a bunch of film, and I had a quarterback guru, quote unquote, that we'd go through stuff, and I kept waiting all day just to wait to see what this guy looks like, kind of size him up and all that. And I maybe saw him two or three times. I think he jumped rope for 5 minutes once and threw, and then the other two times he just walked out there and threw to the wide receivers, and that was it.
And Crowder was a a spectator when he threw a ball 30 feet into the stands.
I played him in Oakland with the Dolphins, Brady, and he overthrew a guy on an out route, and it hit the third row. And in the huddle, we were talking about it. We were like, bro, did you just see where that ball went when he tried to throw a 10-yard out?
Strongest arm I've ever seen, though. Like, hands down. I remember I almost broke my neck watching him throw a football out on the field like one of those 3 days he was out there. I mean, from sideline to, or excuse me, from hash to the sideline, when he would throw those out routes, he may not be able to hit the broadside of a barn, but that thing was coming like it was a howitzer. I mean, that thing was flying out of there.
Brady Quinn is with us. Draft day stories. It's draft night. Tell me if this is true, like if this is exactly true, because it's from Wikipedia. Following the draft, Brady Quinn was criticized by fellow Notre Dame quarterback Joe Theismann in a radio interview, claiming that Quinn looked unprofessional when he was on stage following his name being called. Theismann was bothered by the appearance of Quinn's hair, and I remember that it was like mussed up, and the fact that you were chewing gum. Quinn responded saying, "I apologize to anyone, obviously, who's a Notre Dame alum or for those fans who thought I wasn't being very businesslike. I was there for a while, and at that moment in time when you finally get picked, after waiting for 4.5 hours, the last thought in my head was to spit out your gum, fix your hair, or make sure your shirt and everything look good. I was just trying to get on stage as fast as possible and get that Browns jersey in my hand."
That's all accurate. I mean, yeah,
that's crazy. Just to talk about draft day stories, like, so now you're excited, you get picked by Cleveland or whatever, and then I'm guessing the next day you're reading Joe Theismann criticizing your appearance.
Yeah, but two things. I mean, look, Joe could probably borrow some of my hair, some of that long hair that I had. And the other thing is the thing that, like, he obviously doesn't realize and most people don't realize is, up to that point, I don't know since then, but that was the longest wait anyone had ever had in the green room. And then, look, I'm not trying to make the case that, you know, I waited longer than other guys. Shannon, I've obviously heard his story before. But as far as people who've signed up to go to New York, sit in the green room and kind of sit there and wait, because of how long the first round each pick was and how long I was in there for, that was the longest. So, at one point I saw Roger Goodell, and this was his first draft he was doing, and he stopped me in the hallway and kind of said, "Hey, why doesn't your family come into our suite?" He said, "I'm tired of looking at you on the TV." He's like, I'm sure you're tired of being on TV." And I just kind of said to him, "I know what I signed up for, but, you know, I'm sure my family, you know, would maybe want to take you up on that." So the tough thing for me was, you know, I didn't want to be on there for, well, what I signed up for. But at the same time, I also didn't want my family to be subjected to that, because they kind of, you know, they signed up for it along with me, and that was a little unfair to them. So we sat in there for a little bit, and as soon as the pick was made, like, literally people were grabbing me and rushing me out on stage, because I thought I was getting drafted by Baltimore at 23. They had called me during the 22nd pick to tell me about how they were trading up with Kansas City, and we were just basically having a impromptu speed dating session, because I had never talked to Ozzie Newsome or Brian Billick or Rick Neuheisel. So we were all trying to get to know each other on the phone, and next thing you know, with a minute left, Cleveland trades up with Dallas.
And, Brady, what happens, like, 4.5 hours? Y'all just talked about it. Like, what goes on between you and your parents, you and your lady, you and your agent? Like, what goes on in those 4.5 hours that you're sitting there?
Well, my agent thought I was going to fire him for some reason, which, I mean, I was like, look, I know you're a big-name agent, Tom Condon, but I said, this is obviously out of your control. It's not like you could do anything about it. I mean, this is all in the, you know, the power of the team's hands and what they choose to do. And so at some point, I think he was a little bit concerned, and we had a couple talks. You know, my family just was, you know, kind of sitting there with me. I think my dad and I were kind of putting together like a hit list of all the teams that had passed and all the teams who wanted to go play and kick their ass. So I'm sure there was some sort of list with the Browns marked off on it or circled with a bullseye that ended up getting thrown away at the end. But that was kind of it. I think I called one of my buddies who came to New York to see the stands, and I had him go do a Chipotle order. So once we went to Roger Goodell's suite, he ran back. Someone gave him a pass to get back there, and he came back with like 8 burritos. And so everyone was like chomping down a bunch of Chipotle. But I couldn't really make it public then because I had this deal with Subway, and obviously there was a competitor. So that was probably one of the better draft day stories. Is if anything, the burrito was making me tired after eating that and been drafted like an hour later.
How great is that? He's got an endorsement deal with Subway. He wants Chipotle. He's ending up in Goodell's suite, and he's like, you know, he's like subtly eating a Chipotle burrito because he can't be seen eating it because he's going to blow his Subway deal.
Imagine how bad Goodell's suite smelled for the rest of that first round. Like the next 10 picks, you know, he just had to walk back there every time, smelled a bunch of like garbage and leftover Chipotle sitting everywhere.
Oh, my God, what a great story. Brady Quinn is with us. So what was the one that really shocked you the most as you fell to 22? Was it the Dolphins taking Ted Ginn?
Yeah, it was Miami. I mean, just from my entire preparation leading up to the draft, I worked with Terry Shea. He was going to be the quarterback coach. And so we had a great rapport together. So, every day when I'm showing up, going through things with him, doing drills with him, and Jamarcus isn't there and all that, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, if they're going to take a quarterback, I know, which corner Terry Shea's in. And so he left at one point. I think I had 3 weeks or so of prep still, and he said, hey, it's too good of an opportunity not to take it. And I said, I completely get it. Hopefully we'll work together in the future. And I had a guy named Mike Krushak come in, who used to be with the Arizona Cardinals, and he kind of finished out the last 3 weeks. So that was one reason. Cam Tamarin and the Dolphins staff had come in a separate time from my pro day to actually work me out and have me throw. And so obviously there was a lot of interest there from that standpoint. And then the note that was sent to Charlie Weiss the night before. I mean, everything was kind of leading up to that point. But that was probably the most shocking one. And only because of kind of where they went to. It's nothing against Ted Ginn. I think he's a tremendous player. He's obviously still playing, and he's got that sort of elite speed that you rarely find. But I kind of figured it was going to be another quarterback or just a different position at that point in time in the draft.
So do you think they were BSing you the whole time? Like, have you ever thought back and said, what exactly transpired here?
Yeah, I've heard stories. I've heard there was one particular coach who made a very, very passionate display in the draft room, the war room, about what he thought and who he wanted to draft and who he thought would be the best player for them to take. And, maybe it convinced a few people. So I've heard stories, and, I'll just kind of leave it at that. It's not anything to time side of this. We're not really much that you can read into it. It kind of is what it is. Obviously, it didn't work out for Cam Tamarin, those guys. I think they went 1-15 and got fired after 1 year. So, that's kind of the story of how it worked out. And it's not like it worked out great for me in Cleveland anyway, but I don't know that it's really worked out for anyone well in Cleveland, maybe up until now. And hopefully it will move forward for Baker and those guys.
Well, Brady, Cam Cameron didn't do anything right because he went 1-15 with us, and then he went and got fired from LSU again, and now he's not even coaching, bro. So he's the one that was bad. You were good to go. But I want to ask you, Brady, is there anything, looking back now that we're grown men now, married with kids, would you have done anything different on your draft day? Would you have not went to the draft? Would you have just done something different now that you know what happened?
I would say this because I like to golf a little bit. I could have played 18 holes, and as soon as I walked off 18, I could have went and figured out I got drafted. That probably would have been the perfect scenario if you're going to wait 4.5 hours and then get drafted. But, people have asked me that before, and, I come from a middle-class working family in Central Ohio. I've got family down in Kentucky and so forth. And some of those people who came to New York, that was the first time they went, and they'll never go back again. So even though for some it was, and you guys kind of said it when I first came on, even though for some they're like, oh, you didn't go where you thought it would be. But, yeah, dude, I got drafted in the first round, the team I grew up, rooting for, wearing Bernie Kosar jerseys. Like, there's no better, dream becoming a reality than that. And then I got to share that with all my family. So I think the most unfortunate part people don't realize is as soon as I left that green room with Roger Goodell, I didn't get to see my friends, my extended family, no one besides my mom, my dad, and my girlfriend at the time who came with me to Cleveland. But besides that, we kind of got whisked away into a big press conference, side room. And then after that, we were shuttled off to go to the airport. So everything happened so fast at that point. It just kind of stunk. I didn't get to thank everyone for coming out and obviously being there for me.
Here's a burrito. I'll catch you in a week.
Did you marry the girl?
I did buy them Chipotle, though. So
is it your wife now, the lady that was in the green room with you? Oh, Brady,
no,
you did her wrong, yeah. Man. You showed her the better side of life and then let her go?
No, it wasn't quite like that. It was a little more complicated. We were together for almost 6+ years, almost 7 years, I think. And at that point in time, I think we were kind of growing apart and all that. So it kind of was what it was. But we're both probably in better places now.
Her draft stock fell as well.
Yeah.
She probably went in the seventh round.
Yeah.
Brady Quinn, it's fascinating. We appreciate every time you come
hawk.
On with us. And
no hawk. We know that.
She's no hawk.
She saw a picture of me and Brady Quinn on our date, and she's like, well, okay, if that's what he left me for.
Is that what ruined it?
She's like, now I don't understand what the hell is going on here. Brady, it's fascinating. Thank you for joining us on draft day, because the stories are fascinating, and we get to put a real human side on something that's often commoditized. So we appreciate it. Thank you, man.
Anytime, guys. Have fun tonight.
Brady Quinn there. That was fascinating.
I knew the story, but I've never heard him tell
right.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we witnessed it. Like, we witnessed it, but there you go. You heard it. All right, we're at Dave & Buster's. The draft party is here tonight, 8 o'clock. Dave & Buster's, we want you to watch the draft with us. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back after this.
Radio.com.
Just when I finally we are here at Dave & Buster's, Oakwood Plaza in Hollywood. You got the draft coming up, 8 o'clock tonight. Brady Quinn was excellent there. Now, let me give everybody what the layout is for tonight, because people are getting out of work and they want to know, what am I going to hear on the radio and what's the draft coverage going to be like. So when Crowder and I are done here in a few minutes, at 6 o'clock, Greg Likens and Josh Friedman are going to be at Dolphins headquarters. And at 7 o'clock, Friedman, Omar Kelly, Chris Perkins, Adam Beasley, they're going to have like a reporter's roundtable. Leroy Horde will join Greg Likens at Dolphins headquarters. You're going to have Chris Whittingham and Curtis Stevenson out at Hard Rock Stadium tonight, beginning at 8 p.m. And here at Dave & Buster's in Hollywood, you're going to have Alex Dono and Rashad Butler starting at 8 p.m. So we've got your draft coverage on lockdown. You don't need to go anywhere. You put your radio on 560 WQAM or 96.5 FM HD2. You lock it in all night. Or, even better, you come on out to Dave & Buster's and you watch the draft with us. We're in the Dave & Buster's in the Oakwood Plaza in Hollywood. They've got Thursday night all-you-can-eat wings with a power card. They have drink specials. We've got prizes to give away at Dave & Buster's. So we've got Hurricanes football tickets. Sinbad Sports brought us some sports memorabilia to give away. Dave & Buster's giving away a watch party for six, valued at like $300 for later in the season. I mean, we've got prizes up the yin-yang.
So come on, get some.
You get out of work and you're thinking about where you want to watch the draft tonight. I'm guessing the Dolphins will pick what? Around 9, 9:30?
Yeah, 13.
13th pick.
Yeah,
if everybody takes 10 minutes.
And if they don't trade back either.
Right. Well, if they trade back, all bets are off.
Yeah,
then you'll see the tail end of my car.
But what if they
pulling
trade
out of the lot?
What if they trade up?
If they trade up.
Now we're talking.
Interesting.
And I would not be surprised by anything the Dolphins do tonight.
And I would say if you want to come out and watch it with us, be here by like 7:30, 8 o'clock. There's already some people getting here. But we will have fun tonight at Dave & Buster's without question. So definitely want to see you tonight. Now, here are some of the texts. Was that Teacher Teacher by 38 Special?
Yes,
that was. That song was Teacher Teacher. I was reading one of the texts there, Falero.
I thought you were asking me, sorry.
38 Special is a pistol.
Hawk and Crowder, been a great show this week. Dudes, great job. This is the sickest show. These draft day stories are great. Can we have this on a loop all day? Show has been shaky lately. Today's show has been one of the best ever. Backhanded compliment. But we'll take it.
What else are you going to do?
Getting Brady Quinn on draft day is like getting Steve Bartman during the Cubs playoffs. Bravo, guys. Thank you. We appreciate that. I'm not kidding you. I'm not big on just singing our own praises over and over again. But this week of shows, and we still got tomorrow, which will be reaction to draft day, and then round two, obviously, tomorrow night. But I am willing to sing our praises on the four shows that we have done this week because I have been fascinated by the stories from Brady Quinn to Gino Toretta to Tuan Russell, who came and joined us here live this afternoon, O.J. McDuffie, Aronde Gadsden, Randy McMichael, Josh Booty, your story itself. It's gone on and on. It's been just a tremendously entertaining 4 days of shows as you lead into the draft tonight. You got a little get to know yous, got a little background info on athletes that have gone through this process and what it was like.
Do you ever say, oh, like if a guy's sitting there until the 20th pick and he went to New York, I mean, what's it, Nashville this year, correct?
Yeah, Nashville.
Are you going to say, oh, look at him up there. He's upset. Like, what's the story? Not. Are they going to change your feelings about it?
No, I don't think so.
You've heard Randy say he was crying.
Right. No, and I think what happens on a week of shows like this is you recognize humans behind the helmets, right? And you recognize that the stories aren't just, okay, I got picked here, and let me go get my check, and let me start. Like, this is, you know, families and support systems and ups and downs and in many cases lies, you know, just being flat out lied to by teams because they're trying to send up smoke screens. It humanizes everything that you're going to see tonight. But tonight, as the draft happens, you're going to watch everybody like they're a commodity.
The teams lying to players, I know, and something that people get upset by. Oh, because my story, like the Patriots told me they were going to take me. Mel Kiper lied. I think it's good for kids to get ready for the real world because people are going to lie to you the rest of your life.
You ain't lying.
Take advantage
of it. No pun intended.
Yeah, yes.
Especially if you work with Valero. Lies to us at least 3 times a show.
Yes. For no reason.
Crazy.
Lies about his name.
You should be an NFL front office guy, Valero. You ever thought about going to the NFL front office?
No, you know my dream is to be a football coach.
That is true.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.